So they found each other later in life. Now, this is all relatively speaking, okay? They found each other later. They got started on their parenting journey later. And there were times when it really didn't look very hopeful that they would ever achieve parenthood. I'm talking about Kelly and Jonathan Vaver, and they're my guests today on the Embryo Adoption Podcast. If what I just described sounds like you or a friend or a relative, I think this is a conversation you're going to find really hopeful and encouraging. The Embryo Adoption Podcast is brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center. You can find out more about the NEDC at embryodonation.org. Again, that's embryodonation.org. Hi, I'm Mark Mellinger. I'm the Marketing and Development Director for the NEDC. It's so good to have you guys with me today, Kelly and Jonathan. So let's just start at the top. I said you met later in life. I mean, yeah. It's all relative. You're both younger than I am, so I'm one to be talking there. Tell me how and when you met.
Well, I was 35 and you were 36.
Yeah.
So I'm mid-30s. I met through a mutual friend at a church, and Kelly came to visit the church and kind of just hit it off. So yeah, I impressed her with my guitar skills.
Is that true?
It is true. That is very true. I play guitar, but not nearly as well as he does.
So that was what won your heart.
Oh, that was some, that was a big part of it. So that somebody who loved the Lord, and he really worshiped God with his heart, and that's what I've been looking for. So.
Well, it's awesome to hear how God brought you two together at that stage. So when you get married in your mid-30s, there's automatically this assumption that, okay, maybe it will be a little bit harder for us to have children than people who married in their early or mid-20s, you know, something like that. Unpack your thoughts on having kids after you got married and what your plan was, your approach.
I think even when we were dating, because we knew we were getting married later on in life, I had talked to him right off the bat, like, "Hey, are you okay with adoption? Are you okay with fostering? Are you okay with, you know?" Because I didn't know if we'd be able to have kids, and he was all for that even when we were dating. So that was really good that we already had that in the back of our minds that because some people are like, "Nope, no way, it has to be my own kid or nothing." And but we were we and I had always had a heart for adoption even when I was a child. I always thought it'd really be neat to adopt. So yeah, we decided we were going to wait a little bit, just get adjust to being married. But within 6 months, I did get pregnant, and it was just like out of the blue. We were both like, "Wow!" I mean, we couldn't believe it. We were just over the moon thrilled, and it was because we didn't know. And I was just so excited, and we both were just super, super
Yes.
excited. Went through a whole trimester, and found out that I was going to miscarry that child, and I did. I did miscarry that baby, and we still grieve. We were completely devastated. It just a miscarriage is a horrible thing. It's a loss. It's a tragic loss. We were really, really upset about that for like I said, we still cry.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a good point for people who have experienced miscarriages and feel like at some point I should be over this. Well, yeah, there is a point at which you definitely move on with your journey, but what you're saying is you're never really over it 100%. How long would you say it took for you to really work out the intense grieving and let that take its course? And what did that look like for each of you?
For me, it didn't take nearly as long. It probably maybe a month or a couple months, and but I mean, it's still at times it would creep up and just be like really disappointment. But I know for Kelly, it took much longer.
Oh yeah, much, much longer. I don't know. I mean, I still, even on the days when we lost the baby, you know, I still go to the cemetery and, you know, shed some tears. It's still tough. But I think what was even harder was that we started trying again and nothing, you know, and nothing was happening. And so it's like, not only are you grieving the loss of your child, but then you're trying again and nothing's happening. And people say, oh, just, you know, give up and it'll happen. Well, we tried that too, you know, oh, just, you know, we tried, IUIs, which is the, like artificial insemination, I think is what it is in essence. And we tried three of those and they all failed. And, so we were just really crushed because it's like here, you know, everyone's, oh, you'll get pregnant again. You'll get pregnant again. And we weren't. And so that was really, it was really, really heartbreaking to experience that on top of it, you know, infertility on top of a miscarriage. And we did foster care at that time, but we also know foster care, the main goal is reunification. It's always the main goal. It's always the primary goal. And so we decided that we would do foster care and embryo adoption at the same time, you know, start pursuing kind of growing our family in two different ways. And I'm really glad we did.
How did you learn, how and when did you learn about embryo adoption? Did you know about embryo adoption prior to having the miscarriage and all of that playing out? Or did you learn afterward that it might be an option?
I don't think I had heard of it before, actually, before the miscarriage. I'd heard of it through a friend who was also experiencing fertility issues, and she was going to a fertility clinic, and they have a website, and on their website, they have listed different avenues that people can take with fertility options. And one of them was embryo adoption, and it had listed actually several different clinics around the country. The NEDC was one of those listed. So I was kind of doing a bunch of research to see, you know, what are the different beliefs? What are the different, you know, like expenses? What are, I'm trying to think of what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, what's the procedure? What's these? Oh, the success rate. That's what I meant to say. What's the success rate of some of these? And the NEDC had just a phenomenal success rate. It was really, really impressive.
And we were really contemplating, do we do domestic adoption? But we've had friends that have gone through that process, pay for all the medical expenses of the fraternal mother. And then when it comes time for the baby born, the mother changes her mind. You know, and so even then it's not guaranteed. And so when Kelly brought this option, embryo adoption, to us, and we're also weighing the cost, domestic adoption is just out there, and embryo adoption is considerably less. And we're like, it seemed like a good option for us.
Yeah. And plus, go ahead, Kelly.
I was going to say, and plus for me, it was, you know, even though we were fostering, there was just really this burning desire in me to be pregnant again and to give birth to a child that I get to keep, you know, like, because those children that they were with us in our home for, you know, over a year and a half, and they were reunited, which is great, but left us with a huge hole in our hearts, you know? And so it was like, well, there's just this burning desire in me that I wanted to be pregnant and I wanted to get to hold my child. And this is a child I get to keep. This is not, you know, with foster children, you can very, very often go back, which is, like I said, that's great. That's the whole goal. But for us, I wanted to be pregnant again. So it was, you know, embryo adoption is great because it's like you get to adopt and I get to experience pregnancy and childbirth. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. And there's no chance that the child will be pulled back. You know, if you do achieve pregnancy and you give birth, that child is yours from the beginning. You're listed on the birth certificate, so you don't have to go through any of that. I mean, you know, and that said, we are certainly advocates of all forms of adoption, international, domestic, foster. It's all great. Our little corner is the right answer for some people, and certainly it was for you guys. So talk about the process with NEDC and how it played out.
I remember we were in the parking lot of a grocery store when we were about to go grocery shopping and we were talking about embryo adoption and we just parked and said, honey, we've got to resolve this. Like, are we going to go for it or not? And we did right there. And that, I remember it was a spring day in this parking lot. We decided, yep, we're going to go for it. And, you know, started the paperwork and all the medical testing and things like that. And it was all going smoothly. We actually had probably would have been able to do a transfer within, I would say, 6 months, 7 months. But then we were going to do anonymous. And then kind of at the last minute, I just really had it on my heart that I wanted to do open adoption. And so then when we switched gears, suddenly now we're looking at a different set of donors. So it delayed us by another couple months because then you have to go through the
open donation
mediation. Yeah. And which was fine. I think it was a fantastic choice. We absolutely love the donor family. We email back and forth. We send pictures back and forth. We ask medical questions. Absolutely. For us, that was the right decision. And we love that our son, Samuel, has pictures of his siblings and it's great. So we're glad. So anyway, after we chose those donors, and then we went in March and did the transfer. And I know it doesn't always take on the first time, but for us it did. And I got pregnant with Samuel, and it was absolutely phenomenal. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Were you nervous at all having had the miscarriage be your only pregnancy experience? Can you talk about what that was like? The reason I ask is not to make you relive something bad, but because you're not the only woman who's done embryo adoption who's been in those shoes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of nervousness, especially at the beginning. Because it brought back all the old memories. I think that the first time we heard Samuel's heartbeat, I mean, I think we both probably cried. It was because I never got to hear the heartbeat of my first child. So it was fantastic and terrifying at the same time, because I remembered what had happened so vividly.
Because we were in the same room that we found out we're having a miscarriage, and when we heard Samuel's heartbeat for the first time. So it was, when we walked into the room, it's like, ooh. But then there was so much joy that came on that day.
Yeah, and I think for me, it was just hard. The milestones I had to pass were, it's like, for, I think maybe for a lot of people would be like, oh, great. Yeah, I get to tell everybody I'm pregnant. For me, that milestone was kind of terrifying. Like, well, last time I told everybody I was pregnant and then I lost the baby. So now, like, here, I'm going to tell everybody I'm pregnant. We didn't even tell very few people that we were doing embryo adoption. So that people were really shocked when I told them I was pregnant, because they thought, I mean, years had gone by and they thought I was just, you know, infertile, and that was it. You know, so to have to cross that threshold and say, yes, I'm pregnant, and tell these people, you know, and then, but the pregnancy was still going really well. And then we did a gender reveal, and then that was going really well. It was just, for me, getting past some of those milestones was kind of a big deal. And I just had to keep my trust in God and just keep on believing that he had his hand upon this little life. And I was so thrilled. You know, I was like throwing up for half of my pregnancy, and I was like the happiest puker you ever met. Every time I throw up, I'm like, oh, thank you, God, I'm pregnant. You know, it was so funny, but it was great, because it was just like, I'm throwing up because I'm pregnant. So, it was fun, but yes, you're right. It was scary for me, especially for a while, to really have to trust and believe that it was going to be okay. But I'm glad we did. And first time you feel them kicking, and those kind, it's indescribable, absolutely indescribable. Best decision I've ever made, you know, besides asking Jesus into my heart and getting married to this guy. Embryo adoption was, and it's just incredible. The experience was phenomenal.
So you obviously got to the finish line and you have Samuel in your life now. So talk about him, talk about what it's like being parents.
I've done a lot of talking.
It is so much fun watching him like develop and learn. And I don't know if it's every parent, but it's like, my son's really smart.
You know, it's funny. My wife and I were just talking about that the other day. I don't know that I've ever seen on social media or anything, you know, but Bobby's developing. He's a year or two old now. We just really don't think he's that bright or has a great future ahead of him. We don't have great hopes for his life. He might be sort of a loser. No, you're not going to feel that as a parent, and you shouldn't feel it as a parent. And I'm sure he is a very bright kid. So talk about him some more, Jonathan.
Well, he is very energetic, runs around a lot.
Yes.
And it's like, if you look away for a moment, he has something in his hand that he shouldn't. And, but it is fun watching him try to learn all these new things and new experiences. And just looking forward to showing him more experiences.
Being a dad is good. Yeah.
He's got this great laugh. Like he's just in this smile that just lights up his whole face. And he just melts my heart. I mean, I'm always telling him, you are the most adorable thing I've ever laid eyes on. You know, like I just, and you'd think after, I mean, cause this is, he's like about a year and a half old now. And, you know, it hasn't worn off for me. You would think this, you know, giving birth and having a baby would, for me, I marvel every day. Like, I can't believe I carried him inside of me. I can't believe I gave birth to him. Like, I marvel at how fearfully and wonderfully he was created in my womb, as the Bible says. It hasn't worn off, which I hope it never does. How just special and incredible and amazing. I love it. I love being a mom. I love being his mom. I just love all the cuddles and snuggles, and it's fantastic.
And he's at a good age right now. That's a great age. He's just getting to the age where they're really, really a lot of fun. Now, for those of you who are watching the video version of this interview, I know he's napping right now. That's why you haven't heard him during the.
To try to go.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot right now if you want
to. You give it a shot. You give it a shot. Yeah, and it's okay. Jonathan and I will fill the space, while Kelly is going to get your son. And so Jonathan, while she's doing that, I mean, obviously embryo adoption has worked out really well for you guys. Are there thoughts of coming back? I guess that's the natural question.
Yeah, we are actually leaving in a week to go down for a second transfer. Yes.
So that's great. So hopefully he's going to be a big brother. And, you know, you don't have to share this with me if you don't want to, but, you know, the embryos that you've selected that you're using this time, is there still a genetic connection to Samuel? Did you go with a new set? Can you talk about that?
No, we are using the same donors. So Samuel will have a genetic sibling. Yeah, it's just neat that this donor family, there's been a family before us that adopted these embryos. And so now there's like three families connected. And here's the star of the show.
Oh, look at him. And he's got his sippy cup there. If you're watching the video version, there is a big orange sippy cup covering his face. Hi there, Samuel. You don't have to talk to the weird man on the screen. You don't have to. We're just having a good conversation about you. Boy, you're just drinking that. What is that, milk?
It's milk, yeah.
Okay.
He's used to that after his nap.
He loves his milk. He's being great. You can tell he just woke up, but he's not in a crabby mood or anything. He's doing really well. We were just talking, Kelly, before we go, you guys are coming back, and Jonathan and I were talking about, so your next transfer will in all likelihood be with embryos that will be not only siblings, but genetic siblings of Samuel. How do you feel about this guy becoming a big brother? And does it matter, the genetic connection?
I love it, actually. I really do. For him to have that genetic connection is really neat, I think. I love getting pictures of his, already he's got genetic siblings. And I love getting pictures of him. I mean, they're all older than him. And so I like looking at him and going, wow, he looks like his, genetic sister. Well, I think he's going to look like his older brothers, so that's been really, really fun. And to do the sibling program with the same donors and have the same embryos, it's been really easy. It's been a piece of cake. You don't have to go through all that, the negotiations and the agreements and the paperwork, because they've already been frozen and reserved for us. So I'm just floored by how much easier it is the second time. It's a snap, So, and yeah, I love that I would give birth to his genetic sibling. So, we're really excited.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We're excited to have you back. We're very hopeful and prayerful. I love hearing the slurping. I love when we have kids on this podcast, because there's just no pretense with kids. If I was on there, I wouldn't be slurping and stuff, but it's cute. There's a cute factor when kids do it. And I love he is not letting that cup leave his face. It is going to completely cover his nose, mouth, and at least one of his eyes. Okay, but you just do, oh, both of his eyes now. Okay. you just do what you need to do. Hey, let's end it on this note, guys. What would you say to encourage someone who is where you were? They feel like they're paralyzed, like maybe they're hopeless. They know there are success stories out there like yours, but there's no guarantee. They feel hopeless. How would you encourage someone like that?
I think for me, can you get his Cheerios, please? He's got Cheerios. The milk runs out.
It's totally good. Don't worry about it.
I guess I would encourage them to not give up, and to go for it. There are so many unknowns with all forms, a domestic adoption or international or fostering, embryo adoption. There's just so many unknowns. But if we hadn't gone for it, if we'd been too afraid to go for it, too afraid of those variables, we never would have had Samuel. Mm-hmm. And I guess just, follow that dream, chase it down, because it, like I said, it has been one of the greatest experiences of my life. I love him so much, and I just can't wait to have more. So I don't know, what would you say?
Getting diagnosed with infertility is a dark and hopeless road to go down.
Oh, yeah.
And it's before we knew it, before we experienced it, there's people out there that have come from that dark journey with hope. And that hope is given to us, and we jumped on it. And if our story can bring hope to people that feel hopeless, it's good.
Right. That's an understatement. It is good. Well, Samuel, you just keep eating those Cheerios, slowly, deliberately. It looks like they're keeping him happy. He's a Cheerio kid, and that's a good thing. I just really appreciate, all three of you joining me so much for this edition of the podcast. It's a beautiful story and really, really well told. And if you'd like more information on embryo adoption, specifically through the NEDC, you can go to our website, and that's where you'll find it. It's embryodonation.org. Again, embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger, and this has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.